Next, we'll have Dr. Sawyer from Western Michigan, eliminating all healthcare-associated infections.
By the end of this talk, we'll eliminate all of them. Thank you very much. I consult for a number of companies. None of this, I think, has anything to do with what I'm talking about today. Okay, so you can do these things. Ready? You can wash your hands between contacts. You can give prophylactic antibiotics in the appropriate manner. You can use a perioperative bundle, normal thermosterility, skin preparation, et cetera. Take out all the unnecessary devices, urinary catheters, vascular catheters, et cetera, and carefully monitor and measure your rates, and you will be average. And we are surgeons, and we do not want to be average. So let's talk about some other things. And I was thinking, actually, when I was just sitting there, I said, this is like four things that I don't do now, but maybe I should. So anyway, a lot of this stuff may not be familiar to people, but I think this is stuff which is just on the verge of making it into commonality. So I'm going to talk about biotics. I'm going to talk about negative pressure wound therapy, which is an interesting topic all in and of itself. UV light for terminal cleaning, because it's not always everything that we just do to the patients can help us prevent infections. Sometimes it's environmental. And then talk a little bit about vaccinating patients, which I think is really an interesting possibility. That's a little bit farther in the future. Okay, so let's talk about exbiotics. For people who don't talk about these all the time, there are prebiotics. Prebiotics in general are fiber or indigestible fibers which feed the good bacteria, like Bifidobacterium. Probiotics are the good bacteria themselves, so live cultures like yogurt and so forth and so on, or commercially available products. And synbiotics is a preparation which has both a prebiotic and a probiotic in one preparation. I didn't even know this data was out there, and it's really interesting because this is in the medical infectious disease literature more than it is in the surgical infectious disease literature. And this is, I'm going to show you two meta-analyses. And this one came out last year. And this is the use of probiotics, prebiotics, and synbiotics specifically to reduce postoperative complications. Again, interesting because this is, I think, more in the medical literature than it is in the surgical literature. This is what is called a network meta-analysis. And think about it this way. People have tested a lot of things to try to reduce postoperative complications and postoperative infections. And all these lines show here are the different comparisons you can find out there in the literature. This, of course, is kind of focusing on synbiotics. But there are comparisons between synbiotics and prebiotics and synbiotics and placebo and synbiotics and enteral nutrition and so forth and so on. Well, if you go to their data table, this is what it looks like. You end up having this kind of big chart because you have to compare everything, kind of everything else. But just to highlight with the red boxes, and if you look particularly at the bottom boxes, if you look at synbiotics versus placebo, which is in the very lower left-hand corner, your odds ratio for a postoperative complication via meta-analysis is 0.28 if you give synbiotics. Antibiotics, that effect there is actually mostly colorectal surgery and so forth. But probiotics also, in this meta-analysis, appears to actually be beneficial. Why I don't do this, I'm not entirely certain. Maybe I'll go home and do this. This is another meta-analysis from the nutrition literature, of course, because synbiotics, probiotics, part of nutrition. And what you can see here by those blue diamonds, of course, is that most of these studies favor intervention, and it's not just, say, wound infections, but here they're looking at sepsis, any infection, pneumonia, and then down at the bottom, diarrhea, abdominal pain, distension, and so forth. A pretty decent signal that maybe these things are useful. That was number one. Number two. Okay. So when the WHO guidelines came out for surgical site infection prevention, I had one of those Scooby-Doo moments when I look and I go, whoop! What is this? Because I was not all that familiar with prophylactic negative pressure therapy. Like, we're all used to using wound vacs, but this is the concept of you put a vacuum-based therapy on top of a primarily closed wound. And over on the far right, it was a conditional recommendation with low-level quality of research. But it was a conditional recommendation from the WHO, which is kind of a big deal. And I thought it was very interesting. So I had to get interested and figure out why they thought this. And these are what the data look like if you get into this area of interest. This is a study in C-sections or a meta-analysis in C-sections. And you can see, again, bottom diamond favors negative pressure wound therapy for C-section. Well, is that the only patient population it works in? Well, here's a meta-analysis from last year from Surgical Infections. This is looking at all procedures. And again, the bottom summary is it looks like it probably helps a fair amount. Here it is for an abdominal. This is a highly quoted paper now, but abdominal surgery, the problem with this one, as you can see from the top, is actually fairly small numbers. There are only 49 patients involved here. But they saw a significantly decreased risk of surgical site infection by putting a wound vac on the top of your closed wound. And in vascular, it's been studied, and you can see here that if you look at all the scores, it looks like it's helpful in terms of decreasing your surgical site infection. And then very recently, JAMA surgery, I think this is in the last month or so, meta-analysis for all laparotomy, and it looks like it's helpful, again, diamond over to the left side. But not to put too much of a damper on this, the concerning thing is, when you read meta-analyses, you want to figure out what it means. The three largest studies to date for laparotomy, which are all pointed out there, none of them showed a statistically significant reduction in SSIs. So the three largest studies, not statistically significant, but when you do a meta-analysis, it looks like it's favorable. And this is actually the largest study to date from Shen, and this is hundreds of patients, and you can see whether you're looking at superficial SSI, deep SSI, seroma. Seroma decreases. I don't think there's any question about that, but for the rest of the outcomes, it's not really clear. So I'm not really sure what to do with that data. Okay, number three. This is actually, I put this in here just to point out there are things that are kind of out of our control other than to try to get people to do them properly in our hospital. You can add UV light. I thought this was kind of hocus pocus when I first saw it, but this is a nice study out of The Lancet from last year. And what you can see is they had the reference cleaning, and this is just how many bacteria in the room when you clean it. So the reference was their standard room cleaning, which was, you know, according to all standards that are out there. And then the UV group is they did the standard, plus they put a UV light in there as well, according to their protocol. And it really decreased the number of target organisms, and these were resistant pathogens they were interested in reducing. And then when you look and you put the data together, the likelihood of finding multi-drug resistant pathogens in these rooms, if all you did was add UV light treatment to your baseline cleaning standards, significant reduction down to about an odds ratio of 0.7. Okay, maybe you want to talk people to doing that in the operating room. Okay, last topic, vaccines, right? So I don't know, I got into this groove where I was thinking vaccines are like for, you know, polio and so forth and so on. And since as surgeons we deal mostly with bacteria, fungi somewhat, but not so many viruses, it's like, okay, maybe this is not so relevant until you take a moment and think about these data, right? So one of the most successful vaccines in the last several decades is the pneumococcal vaccine, right? And all this is data showing you that between 98 and 99, there are a whole bunch of people who died, no matter how old you were, young, old, from the vaccine, without the vaccine. And then 2007, 2008, probably you reduced by about two-thirds the likelihood of dying. So vaccines for bacteria are possible. And what's really exciting is this is a relatively recent review from Nature Medicine highlighting current vaccines under development. And I'm going to point out, if you look at the table, the four organisms that are highlighted are C. diff, right? That's a big problem for general surgeons. Number two, Staph aureus. That's a big problem for general surgeons. Number three, group B strep. Yeah, strep causes a lot of our surgical site infections. And then finally, E. coli, right? So this is all good. And I'd also even propose that surgical patients maybe are better candidates because if you think about it, we only probably need coverage for several weeks. We're not talking about you have to vaccinate somebody and they have long-lasting antibody to whatever you vaccinate. I mean, I'd be happy if you can just decrease the risk of, say, surgical site infection or anastomotic leak or something like that. So these are in the future. Many of them, as you can see, they have national or clinicaltrials.gov numbers, so they're actually being tested at this point. So in summary, number one, the prevention of healthcare-associated infections is an important goal. There are a lot of interventions currently which have been shown to be effective and should be standard practice. There are other interventions which I think are promising with preliminary data. And then ultimately, I was at talk about the microbiome, Elimination of healthcare-associated infections require a better understanding of the host and the microbiome. Thank you.